Welcome to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood will wash away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis.
With emphasis added.
With emphasis added. Yes. Because we are jazzed this morning. Because the guy that is in the studio today, he's a wrestling coach. He's a wrestling coach to the young men of this world. Right?
Well, to the young men of Whatcom County.
Well, to some young men in this world. Okay, Whatcom County happens to be in this world.
Yes, it does.
CJ in the house.
All right.
The wrestling coach. And he wanted to talk about wrestling with God. And so we were already wrestling before we got up here. Not
about
with
what
God,
we're gonna
with
talk
each other,
about.
In a sense of what we're going to talk about. So you guys are going to be the recipients of some fine wrestling extravaganza that's going to take place here. And wrestling with God, you guys ever do that? Yeah, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, you may not be limping, but you might be, you know, who knows. But as a result of that, we're going to talk about that. That's the main topic. In the meantime, we like to kind of kick things off a little bit with some encouragement. And I take it you probably have something, right?
I got it. I'm ready. All right, here we go.
I'm almost expecting that.
What?
You got to see this guy. This guy is... It's beautiful outside.
It is
early in the morning. It's just a little after 8 a.m. Pacific time.
Yeah.
A little chilly.
It's 63 degrees in this house.
In the
a
studio,
little chilly.
Okay. So what?
All right, here we go. We're going with the.
I hope
Joel.
You don't go anywhere about staying warm and keeping jackets and coats. And
no. No, I just pray that Thor will send me to a missionary field that's warm.
You know what's going to happen.
I know it's
going to
be just
the opposite. Yeah. Well, you pray and ask for patience. Guess what? You get tested with a lot of opportunities to practice patience.
Amen.
So you can get opportunities to practice staying warm in Antarctica.
That's all right. It's only temporary. Joel 2:32. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be delivered or saved. Now, notice it doesn't say only the perfect, only the good of the good shall be delivered and saved. But whoever, that means everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, we must have a humble and contrite heart, though, if this is to be. If you notice the thief on the cross, he didn't say the sinner's prayer. He didn't ask for forgiveness, but his heart was contrite and humble, and he simply just said, Lord, remember me. And so the Lord knew that he had a humble heart and that he was broken, and the Lord saved him and delivered him. And so the same thing is with us, that and no matter what situation that we're in, no matter what we have done or what we have caused, if we simply come before the Lord and we call out to him to save us, if we are truly repentful and sorry, he will get us through what we need to get through. He will save us. Now, it doesn't always come the way we want it to come, and I would say usually 99% of the time it isn't the way we want to be saved or delivered, but he will save us and deliver us. In fact, usually the thing that we want deliverance from is the thing that is going to get us closer to God, or is the situation that is going to save us. So he may not necessarily take you out of it, but he will give you the grace to endure it so that you can be delivered and so that you can be saved, so that you can come to know him. So call on the name of the Lord, whoever you are.
What verse was that?
Joel 2:28, and I believe it's in Acts 2 or 3 as well.
Did you read all of 28?
Did I read... Oh, excuse me, 32. I'm sorry.
32.
Did I say 28?
Yeah, it's
32.
Said 20.
Sorry. I'm sorry.
I like verse 28 in Joel 2.
I like it as well. I like from 28 to 32. Yeah.
But I love this part here. It says in 28, and it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. I mean, that is perfect, the way that things ought to be, so that, you know, as those who are the elders are actually have the experience of vision of being able already in their lives as being youthful in a sense. Now they're dreaming dreams of what is yet to come, maybe possibly that for their children, their sons, who are actually shall see visions that God's going to give. That this is where I need to go. This is what I need to do.
This starts with I believe the father really humble himself to the Lord and seeking God, because then your entire family will be blessed and the Holy Spirit poured upon your family.
Yep.
After I believe the man or the father, husband, humbles himself and seeks the Lord, calls upon him.
There you go. Well, if you end up going to Antarctica, I pray that your sons and your wife are going to be left where it's warm, and you just have to go.
Well, we will be praying very fervently that the Lord does not send me there. I will, if that's
no,
I will fervently.
You know, if he sends you there,
I will be wrestling with the Lord.
No. Here's what's going to happen. If you get called to that, you're not even going to be, there's not going to be a question in your mind.
Yep.
Seriously, it will be like, this is exactly what I need to be doing.
I would agree.
It's going to be a call, and that's like, okay, I'm ready.
Here we go.
And boom, because you've already said, Lord, use me. I'm available for you.
Yep.
And
which you will, not my will.
But he's probably going to wait until the baby's born and everything. What are you going to do with that new son named Raleigh? Okay, so let's talk about this thing about wrestling with God. I mean, let's put it this way.
Yes.
Right now, it's a perfect example of sitting there going, "Okay, Lord, I don't know if I want to go to Antarctica."
Yeah,
you know,
that is
you know, saying that isn't really where I want to go. That's not my plan.
Mm-hmm.
And I pray it's not yours. You want to take a look here? Because I know there are many saved people there. They don't need to hear from you. That's what I mean.
Well, it is. Well, what it comes down to is a lot of times is we're going to second guess God if it's something we don't want to do. It's like, is it me that's just saying it to myself? Or, Lord, are you really telling me I need to go there? It can't be you telling me about that. And if it is, then you will wrestle with him and plead with him and to have your will done. Unfortunately, God is good, and he doesn't usually let our will be done. So
let me ask you, when it gets to that place of that we're actually wrestling with God, and we use the examples, one that everyone is familiar with
it
would be with Jacob, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, you know, he wrestled with the Lord.
Angel
of the Lord, which some people say that was Jesus. But anyway, the point
is...
the point is that he ended up... He thought he had him, right?
In a sense. Well, he wasn't going to let go until he was blessed, and then all of a sudden a little finger hit his hip, and
and all of a sudden and it kind of went...
I think that's the way it is with our own life sometimes, is we want the blessing, but we don't necessarily want to go through the pain or the trial that's going to get us to the blessing.
Well,
so,
of course not.
Yeah.
We want our comfort.
I know. So
is that what this is all about?
If Jacob was left with a limp for the rest of his days,
yes.
But he had the blessing that he was wrestling with God for, and what it comes down to is, are we willing to limp with something in our life, having a crutch or something that has crippled us in a way, as long as we get our blessing from the Lord? Are we willing to just have our comfort?
And so often, though, now if we look at this in a sense of having a limp as a result of wrestling with God, if I think about, and I'm going to use something that is in today's world, it was in my world, and I'll say that my alcoholism was something that I was wrestling with God prior to that. And all of a sudden it's like, okay, I end up being... However, I'm not here to try to create controversy about alcoholism. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, I'm afflicted with alcoholism, and so anytime I drink, it just does. I have no control over it.
Mm.
Best way for me to put it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep.
Somewhere as a result of that, I realized that I cannot live with this.
Mm.
So I had to humble myself to saying I need help.
Amen.
Okay. So my the way that I look at it is my wrestling with God was really prior to this, because he had called me early on. I knew that God wanted me. I was raised, but I wanted my comfort. I wanted my comfort. Mm-hmm. I wanted my desires of my heart. Mm-hmm. My heart.
The flesh.
Not God's heart. My heart. I wanted, I wanted
what you
to feel
wanted.
Good. Yes. Mm-hmm. And I wanted her and her and her and more money there and
the world.
More. Yeah. Yes. I want all these things. Mm-hmm. Right. That is what I was wrestling with. Mm-hmm. Okay. And as a result of that, wrestled with God. So now my limp is that. Would be the simple fact that I have my experiences of what were my weaknesses, okay?
Mm-hmm.
My defects of character,
yeah.
The things that, see, what I realized, and this isn't about a 12-step recovery thing that we're doing here, but the fact is that the alcohol, the drugs, the women, all those things that I sought to fill the hole in my gut.
The void.
Okay. Or those were just symptoms of what the real problem were or was.
Yep.
Okay. I had a living problem.
Amen.
And I looked for all these things to fill me up, to make me feel so I could feel once again cared for, loved, needed.
Well, you're just trying to find some kind of joy somewhere,
something
in the world.
Fulfillment.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I was looking in the world to be able to do it because the world was telling me, hey, you get this, you get her, mm-hmm. you get that money, you, get,
it'll
you
give
make
you
this
joy.
Much, you'll get all the happiness and everything you need.
Well, I think even with that, the limp, I would agree with you on that. And also, I think added to that was the fact that, correct me if I'm wrong, but you don't have a drink or anything like that anymore, correct?
No.
Okay, so I would say like a limp for something like that is not being able to go hang out with friends that drink all the time or go into a bar. I would say that would be something that you have to give up if you want the Lord. So you walked out of there with, in that aspect, you had to have something crippled in your life so that you could have the blessing from the Lord.
Right.
So it's the same thing. And well, a lot of it, what it comes down to is a sin in our life is that a lot of us, we do want the comfort. We do want the blessing from the Lord. But when we try to wrestle with God, we wrestle with him with like a broken femur or something or two crippled legs, which is a picture.
Or some bad discs. Just
about broken back. Yeah.
I mean, seriously. I mean,
I would agree.
You're wrestling with God was this thing about, having mm-hmm. to look, make your body, an idol in a sense.
It was,
and God said, hey, well, okay.
And
when
he broke
that,
we're
going to do this.
Yeah. And he broke me. And it, go back to if you're actually wrestling with someone, if you're wrestling with someone with a broken femur or a crippled leg, you're not going to be able to do a very good job wrestling. You're going to get beaten. You may, in the world, in a sense, you may be able to wrestle with the world. You may be able to maintain living with your sin in your life, but there's no way you can actually stand up against God in a wrestling, I don't want to say match, but you can't stand against God wrestling with a broken femur. So you can't stand against God and wrestle for a blessing when you have the sin in your life is what it comes down to.
Yep.
So
yep.
You may want to, but if you start to wrestle with him, you're going to fall to the ground and you're going to cripple and crumble because of the sin that's in your life. You're not going to be able to stand on firm ground because of the sin that's in your life. So we got to get rid of the sin that is holding us back from being able to wrestle with God so that we can have the blessing. And the blessing isn't getting a new house, a new car, or a wife, or whatever. The blessing is having an intimate relationship with him. That's the blessing.
Well, that
the Holy Spirit.
And you hit it there. So I just want to say that I don't think it's about us getting rid of the sin. We don't get rid of the sin.
Mm, amen.
We seek him. That's what he says to do. Yeah. You seek me, and then I'm going to take care of the rest.
Yeah, yeah. We can't get rid of the sin on our own.
Yeah.
We can't do it.
Because when we, and I just want to clarify that.
Yeah.
Because a lot of guys will sit there and go, oh, get rid of it. I guess I have to get rid of it. So because if you try to get rid of it, brother, you're going to fail every time.
Mm-hmm.
The enemy is more powerful than you.
Amen.
But the enemy is not more powerful than the Lord.
Amen.
And that is who we have to plug into. And that's the one that we need to seek. And that's the one that we need to say, Father, show me the way this day, what mm-hmm. it is I need to do. When you say not to do this and not to do that, that's good. He's going to lead me down a path that's going to be safe. But it's also going to be a path that's going to teach me. Because
Amen.
He allows things to take place in my life.
Amen.
And we think that maybe I'm wrestling with God and how does the guy discern between the two?
I don't know. I think discern between wrestling with ourselves and wrestling with God. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
I think when we wrestle with God, for one, it's going to hurt our flesh in a big way. So it does. For me, it was actually physically it crippled me. I was talking about a broken femur, crippled legs earlier, but Raul earlier mentioned that it was a disc or whatever. So I got I got a herniated disc, two bulging discs, a torn ligament, and progressive degenerative disc disease in my lower back. And so that was my real crippling. And, oh, Lord have mercy, the whole time I was going through this, I was pleading with him to heal me. So I was wrestling with God. I was saying, all right, God, I'll be good. I'll be obedient. Just heal my back. And so I wanted to please him just so I could get what I wanted.
Yep.
And so I think when we when that takes place, we're wrestling with ourselves. Is when it, we want us. We just want to wrestle with God real quick so that we can have us. When we wrestle with God, we realize that we are, I should say, we have the revelation that what we're wrestling for isn't to please us. It's to please him so that we can have his blessing, his anointing on our life. So it isn't. It doesn't become about us anymore. It becomes about him, pleasing him, doing what we want for him. So I think a big revelation is for someone is whether they're wrestling with God or not is if their mindset is pleasing him. If you're trying to please him and you're wrestling, if you don't know who you're wrestling with, I believe you'd be wrestling with God if your heart is trying to please him. Hmm. So I don't know if that makes sense, but
it didn't make any sense to me at all. You know, I'm just looking at you, just whatever,
like I do with my 3-year-old.
I give this one about a month, and it'll be done. You'll have a different idea. No, actually, but really, what it comes down to is that the one that gets in the way is always me. Mm. I mean, I am my own worst enemy.
Amen.
I'm the one that ends up. I always have to look here. If I'm willing to look in the mirror and look at myself rather than look out the window at everything else and my circumstances and people in my lives and all
pointing
that.
Pointing the finger at everything.
Yeah, I can always say, it's because of that, because of the rain today. And
I'm here
whatever.
Because of them. Yeah, I was brought up. My dad did this to me, so I'm stuck here. My mom left, so I'm here, or my dad left, so this is why I haven't been able to become a man, because he left and no one taught me. But it does. It comes back to looking at ourselves.
And so often we end up in a sense of not sure how we are to accept what's going on in our lives because we want to be different. We want it to be different.
Mm-hmm.
And yet God has a plan. He has a plan. I mean, how many of us as men sit there and say, man, if I only had a different dad, a different mom.
Something different.
And mom was actually pretty good, truly the dad. If we had a different dad, it was more caring and loving or whatever, right? And then we go on from there. If I had different brothers or sisters and they weren't, you know. And all of these we try to wish. But here's the deal. As we mature, okay, we start to see things, I'd like to say, in the way that maybe closer to how God wants us to see them, you know, realizing that, okay, when's the first time that your dad told you that you needed to go to work? You're old enough to work. You need to start making a living yourself. You remember that?
I remember.
Somebody heard it from somewhere, but you had to receive that somewhere.
I did. Well, I'll tell you what. It started off with when I was in high school. He gave me a choice. I do sports or I work. So I chose sport. I literally did sports year round.
Okay.
So I did. But when I got older, it was.
But when you got older, who told you you had to work?
My dad.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Okay. I understand. I'm not saying that having to work when you're 12 years old. Okay. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the simple fact is that somewhere along the line, we mature enough to where we receive, and he knows our dad says, hey, it's time for you to go. You got to go to work. If you want that car, I'm not buying it for you. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to earn it yourself.
Yeah.
You know, you're in school, we're paying for your school and doing these things, but, you know, you've got to get that yourself.
Mm-hmm.
He said you got to become responsible.
I would say
some guys don't get that.
I would agree.
Some guys don't get that, don't receive that. They don't know what that is like to be told that this is the path that you've got to take, you know?
Amen.
And they lose that opportunity of being able to learn about what it is to be responsible.
I would say the same thing applies with our relationship with God. That a lot of, I remember when I was, I wouldn't say young in my faith, but when I was, got to the point where I was tired of all the crap I was going through because of my sin, that I wanted to have God, but I also didn't want to necessarily put in the work of trying to find him. I didn't want to wrestle with him because I knew what that was going to entail, because I knew it was going to entail that I had to get rid of the things in my life. So I really didn't want to wrestle with this with God so I could have my salvation. And what I was doing was just I'd read a little bit and be like, well, I'm pretty sure I'm saved. I'm pretty sure I'm going to heaven, but I didn't really want to face it and look into it deeply because I knew that if I did, that the wrestling would have to occur, not physically, but spiritually, within my flesh, with the spirit, that things would have to be torn away. Literally, you have to rip things out of your life. I did. I had to rip things out of my life that caused me to sin, and I did not want to wrestle with that. So what I did was I just would go. This is when I first started going to Banner Brothers. The first year I was there, that's what I was doing. I was just going, you know, hearing the word, and I'm like, okay, I heard a good word, I'm saved. And then, but I believe if I had died at that time, I would have went to hell personally. So I don't think I was saved. It didn't happen until I made the choice to wrestle with God for my salvation.
It's a good thing hindsight's always 20/20, huh?
Well, you know, I've never really understood that, to be honest.
Oh, my gosh. Well, we're going to take a break. I'm going to try to explain it to you. When we get back, you're going to go, wow, the light bulb has finally come on. We're wrestling with God. Have you ever done that? And with CJ. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band Brothers Radio.
Please help us in our effort to encourage and strengthen men across America and around the globe. Make a tax-deductible donation online at faithplace.org. Just click on the About Us page.
When you need a lasting remembrance of a loved one, you can spend thousands of dollars on an engraved monument, benchmarker, keepsake urn, or flag case. Or you could get the exact same engraved monument at a far lower cost from Cascade Monuments. Right now, explore even bigger savings during Cascade Monuments' anniversary event. Cascade Monuments ships throughout the United States and Canada. Shop online at cascademonuments.com.
I got off track, I made mistakes, backslid my way into that place where souls get lost, lines get crossed, and the pain won't go away. I hit my knees, now here I stand, there I was, now here I am, here I am, change.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, and you know what? You should have been in the studio here. It got brighter in here. A light bulb went on, and it was like, oh, my goodness. So, hindsight 2020.
Yeah. You have clear vision. Yeah, you have clear vision of what has happened to you in life.
More clearly.
Yeah, so you can see things from a better perspective, I should say.
Yeah, you're away clear. From the situation, yep. Not going through it.
Yeah, you're not right. It's like if... when you're in the fog, you can't see it. But if you step up, if you're in a plane, you can see everything, right? Yep. All right.
Let's not muddle it all up, okay?
All right. Well, it's in my head. It's in my head.
All right. Let's mark this date down. 2015. February 16th, 17th. 17th today. But anyway, here's the deal. Jacob.
Yep.
Was also, his name changed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. From Jacob, yep. Which meant, I think, deceiver.
Yeah.
To Israel.
Israel. Mm-hmm.
Okay. And as God was saying, hey, this is what my people are doing. You guys are all wrestling with me.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Now, I say that only because in the New Testament, we're the same. We're all heirs. Mm-hmm. Once you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, there is no Jew or Gentile. We are all one.
All sons of God. Yep.
Okay. And so as a result of that, do we not all wrestle with God?
Amen.
Times in our lives.
I think we need to wrestle with God at different times. You may not be where Jacob didn't do that every night. It happened one night. And there was other times that I'm sure he wrestled with God. But that there was one big specific time in his life that if he didn't get the blessing from God, who knows what would have happened the next day with Esau. But that's why he was wrestling with God, because he was scared what was going to happen the next day. He needed a blessing. He needed to be delivered, to be saved from the Lord. And he was willing to go through whatever it took to get that blessing from the Lord. So,
yeah.
And ended up being pain. So what it comes down to is, are we willing to suffer pain in our life in order to get the blessing from the Lord?
Yeah.
much pain or how much are we willing to give up so that we can be blessed from the Lord? So, and then, like I said earlier, when I first started walking with the Lord, I was, I shouldn't say walking, when I first started trying, I thought this was more of a materialistic thing, like the Lord will bless me with a better life, a better job, more money, a more easier life. Well, that isn't the case. He'll bless you with His Spirit. He'll bless you with salvation. Those are the kind of things that we wrestle with God for. A big thing I had to wrestle with God with was depression, doubt. I had to wrestle with Him every night, plead with Him until He delivered me from it. And I don't think that would have, I don't believe I would have been delivered if I didn't wrestle with Lord. Now, that doesn't mean I tried doing what Jacob did, no, but I just sat and I pleaded with the Lord every day, every night until He delivered with me. Now, I know we disagree with this a little bit earlier, but the Phoenician woman, she, for me, is the example of a relentless pursuit of God.
The Canaanite this, woman.
Huh?
The Canaanite woman.
Canaanite.
Whatever.
in Mark 15 and Mark 7.
Matthew.
What did I say?
You said Mark, but and also in Matthew.
Okay. Matthew 15 and Mark 7, she's in there. She was relentless with the Lord. She pursued Him until she also was blessed. Well, until her daughter was blessed. But she was seeking the blessing, and she didn't give up until she got what she needed from the Lord. So. Mm-hmm.
Well, persistence, we're called to persevere.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
There's the woman who went to the king. The king finally got fed up with her keep coming and asking to change certain things. And
the judge.
And all of a sudden went ahead and gave her what she wanted.
He was tired of hearing of her.
He said, man, this woman is going
to
drive me nuts.
That's how we are supposed to be.
Okay. And in a sense, what it comes down to is that what are we really wrestling with God about? You know, are you wrestling because of you want sin, you want pleasure in your life, or you don't want what God wants in your life necessarily?
So you're wrestling against God.
You could. That's most.
I wrestled against God for many years.
That's basically the way that I usually end up taking it. You know,
wrestling against God.
Yeah. How do you wrestle with God? I mean, you know, okay, God, yeah, let me wrestle. You know, that's like kicking my own butt, right? Can I do? There was a comedy movie about that. Remember the guy?
Was it in black and white?
Yeah, I can't remember. He said, I'm just going to kick my butt. And I'm using.
Oh, I have seen. No, that was Jim Carrey. Jim Carrey.
Yeah.
I remember that.
And he kicked him.
He beat himself up.
That was kind of hilarious because it's kind of like, all right.
Because you look at it, you think how idiotic is what it is. And it's the same thing with us. How idiotic are we going to.
And that's and that's when we look back in our lives, in the hindsight. Being 2020, mm-hmm. that, man, how idiotic was I
Amen.
Back then?
You know,
that I was
mercy
sitting there,
on us.
Here God was loving me despite my sins, you know, and caring about me and still trying to get my attention despite everything that was going on in my life.
Yeah, well, despite even, I know I've done it, is despite seeking the Lord to bless you so that you can continue in your sin. That's even really bad is when you seek the Lord to bless you. For example, for me, I wanted a blessing financially, whatever it is, so I could separate from my situation so I could continue just to...
do what you want.
Yeah, do what I... Be with other women. Have the fun life. So I was seeking a blessing from the Lord so that I could continue to wallow in my sin, my lust, everything. So I really wrestled with... What I thought I was doing was wrestling with God righteously. I thought I was at the time because I'm going to wrestle with Him because I want a blessing. But I wanted the blessing so I could do my sin. Well... You're actually wrestling against God in that situation because He's not going to bless you. So you're wrestling against His will in that situation.
Well, I think you're the only man that's ever done that.
I must be.
I think you're the only one. I think we should write a book.
Take a survey on it and write a book?
Just write a book and see how many you sell. I wrestled with God. But really what it comes down to is that we do this all the time.
Yeah.
We do this more often. It may not be huge bouts where all of a sudden lots of people come to watch the wrestling take place, but do we not wrestle with God? Do we not disapprove of what He put in front of us?
Yeah.
And we go, no, this is not the right time.
Jonah,
I'm not ready for that.
Like Jonah?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, I mean, is doubt wrestling? Doubt can be considered wrestling.
Yeah.
Gideon doubted. David doubted. Yeah.
I would agree.
You know?
Well, that's why I said with me, it was the depressing, the doubt, and I had to wrestle with him about that. I was freaking out in my own head over the doubt that I was in. Like, it drove me to the fact that suicide was real close because I was doubting. So that's how bad it was. It was really bad. So I didn't have a choice except to wrestle. So I do agree with that, and I think we need to wrestle with God with all the circumstances in our life. If we have a wife or husband that isn't a Christian, we need to wrestle with the Lord to save them. We gotta plead with Him to do His good work in our lives. So if we don't, then I don't think it's like looking for the treasure out in your field. If you only try it for a couple nights and you give up, that shows the Lord you really don't want that treasure. If you only wrestle with Him for a little bit and like,
oh, now, are you talking about seeking a treasure in the field? Or
it's kind of related to the same a little bit. If you only do it for a little bit and stop because it gets too tough, that shows the Lord that you really don't want the blessing that bad. If you want it bad enough, you're going to do whatever you have to do to get it. You're going to wrestle. You're going to search through the ends of the earth to find it. So we got to get to that point. And if we don't get to that point, it can be kind of scary because if you don't find that treasure that is Jesus' salvation, then you have other things to worry about. So, and that comes to persevering, like you said earlier. That's what we're called to do.
And it actually, it's amazing how quickly we don't get that by just seeking God. He'll actually reveal to us if He wants us to find that treasure. You know, He'll show us. He'll say, "Hey, there's a light pointing right at it.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, thanks for checking in with me. There it is, right there. Go for it." You know, in the meantime, we're going to be floundering in the darkness and in the muck
maybe
and mire.
Maybe there's better treasure on the other side of the fence. I'm going to go try to look for the treasure on the other side of the fence.
Look at the grass over there. It's greener than my grass here. Yeah. I'm going over there. Get over there. It's
this looks pretty good, but there might be more over there.
Yeah, but that's astroturf. You can't get through it. All right, we're going to take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to continue talking about this thing about wrestling. Is this like Roman wrestling or Greek wrestling?
Greco-Roman is how it's correctly pronounced. That's what's in the Olympics.
Oh, my gosh. From the wrestling coach. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
Looking for another option for your internet service? Need a more reliable, high-speed internet? StarTouch is the premier provider of wireless broadband to businesses, government entities, schools, and residential customers in the Pacific Northwest. In fact, the talk show ministry you're listening to right now uses StarTouch as our internet provider. Experience the StarTouch difference. Get a free quote by visiting StarTouch.com. Back to Band Brothers Radio. I tell you what, this is like having he listens to a commercial and goes, "Oh, that's Tim." And it's like squirrel.
Well, it was in the middle while you were trying to explain something to me. Well, in mid-sentence, I heard his voice like, "Tim."
Oh, my gosh. I tell you
and you're like, "Squirrel." I was like, "I know."
Now he's asking me just before we get on the air here, he says, "Do you remember the last song that we sang at the service on Sunday?" And I go, "Yes." Like I'm supposed to get into it right now with him. And so, anyway.
Simple mind.
You're not as cold as you were earlier, right?
No, I was laughing the whole time.
Yeah, you've got the adrenaline flowing.
Laughing at me, so I was laughing at me, too, about the squirrel. So, I'm pretty hot now.
Okay, well, here's the thing. Wrestling with God, we all do it, okay, to a certain degree.
Yep.
And in hindsight, we always look back and say, yes, I see where I was wrestling with God. And in today's world, it's so challenging for so many reasons. One is that our desire self can be pretty powerful in a sense, or strong-headed, or or stubborn, or whatever, in a sense of even avoiding hearing God's will for us. I mean, how many times have men avoided going to church or listening or talking to their children about God because they don't feel like they are
adequate, comfortable,
or qualified, or that they are maybe in sin and stuff?
Oh, I think themselves? I think that's where it starts from, is the sin in our life. Is go ahead. It comes from we don't feel adequate, we don't feel comfortable, we don't feel as if we know enough, and I would almost say rightly so, because we do feel like that usually because something in our life is stopping us from truly wanting to seek Him, to know Him. Because what happens is when that happens, the Lord forces us to look in the mirror, to focus on ourselves, to fix ourselves. And when that happens, then we have to have some pain in our life because we have to chisel, as some people say, chisel away some of the things in our life that causes, that has caused that sin, or that is causing that sin. And we don't want to quite go through the pain of that yet. It's like going through boot camp, okay? It's a lot of pain, but when you get done with it, you look back and say it was worth it. So it's the same thing. In the middle of it, it sucks, it's not fun, but as the hindsight 2020 is, when you look back on it, you praise God for the thing that He put you through, for being able to wrestle with Him. But what it comes down to is getting to the point, where do we get to the point when we put away everything, put away our sin, so that we can have the blessing from the Lord? That's what it comes down to.
Okay, I'm just going to I would suggest that you, instead of using the word putting away our sins, that's like putting them on the shelf and bringing them back down later.
Yep.
That you just you
get
just,
rid of.
You cast away.
Amen.
You just cast away and give them to the Lord, and you cast away. That's a true repentance. Otherwise,
what you're saying is
what most guys will end up doing. Yeah, I'm just going to take my sin, I'll put it away.
I'll do it.
I'm
going to
put it right up here on the shelf. You notice it got a nice clean shelf right there.
Well, they use the Lord. They use the cross as confession. They do it. They'll go, well, I confess, and they'll keep doing it. Well, that's not true repentance. So, yeah.
Right. And that's one of the applications on allowing us to be able to be clear-minded. The less that we are in active conscious sin. Now, we're not talking about all of a sudden you're walking down the road and you happen to look at a woman lustfully for a moment and you say, oh, Lord, forgive me for doing that. You know, I'm not talking about that. That's not a conscious. I'm going to go look for somebody that I can lust over. No, I'm talking about the secret sins and those that we know that we are going to be doing.
Amen. Okay. Well, it's like putting yourself in positions at work or wherever it is to come in contact with women. That is the secret sin. That's a purposeful sin.
Right. And so when there's intent like that, when
go.
This
intent.
Stuff is, when you are ridding yourself of that by giving it to God, asking for forgiveness, Lord, I am weak. I don't believe that your love is going to be sufficient for me. And that your grace won't be sufficient for me, that I'm going to be an exception to the rule. That's, you know, and asking the Lord and humbling ourselves to Him and saying, please take this from me, Father. Or just rather than say, please take it, thank you for the strength that you give me to battle it away, to be able, the courage to be able to turn away from the temptation, to be able to not go there. Thank you for all that you supply me with, Father, to be able to fulfill that hole in my gut that I've been trying to fill with this other thing.
With the world.
Okay? Now, in doing so, asking for forgiveness, sometimes we end up thinking that the Lord's not going to forgive us. I keep coming to Him asking for forgiveness all the time. You know, I need to stop doing that. I can't seem to stop doing that.
Yeah. You know? Well, Paul said the same thing. What that comes down to is, that comes down to, as you said earlier, you look and you don't purposely look to lust at a woman, but that's what happened. That's the kind of sin that Paul's really talking about. It doesn't mean that, like you do like David did, you have an affair and then you murder him. You don't say, well, I better not do that again. Well, I did it again, Lord, forgive me. I keep doing it. That's not, if you do that out there, I'd be worried, I'll tell you that. So what we're talking about, Paul talked about, is that sin that you keep doing, that you keep being, you do stupid decisions at work, you get frustrated, you blow up at someone, whatever, or your wife or your children, you just can't seem to get it under control. Now, I would say over a period of time, if you continue to do that, then I would say it's something a little bit more serious. But if it's just something that you just continue to keep doing and you just can't get control of, pleading with the Lord, wrestling with him to take it away, because we don't have the strength. You don't even have the strength to breathe on our own. What makes us think we can get rid of the sin on our own? Right. So we got to plead with him.
Well, a lot of it's acknowledging God's power and who he is.
Amen.
Okay. We try to put him in a box sometimes when we want to minimize him, when we want to feel like we're the God with a little G is really what it comes down to. And the fact that we end up wanting what we want, and we're going to do whatever is necessary on our own, and that we've learned. And now all of a sudden, not only are we not only wrestling with God, we're actually coming up with a battle plan sometimes of how to be able to battle with him. Now, some guys are going, no, that's crazy. No, it's not crazy. Just be honest with yourself, man.
Yeah,
I'm not here to try to poke. I mean, these are things that I've had to deal with myself at times. And I can entertain those same thoughts today if I choose to.
If you let it, it's And what it comes down to is, and that's where it's taking every thought captive. You don't, and this is what I did for a long time. If I had a simple thought, whatever it was, I'd just be like, oh, I rebuke that. No, what you need to do is immediately ask for forgiveness and repent.
Right.
Don't wait. Don't put it off, because the more you put it off, the more dull your conscience gets, and the more dull your conscience gets, then is the more sin you're going to entertain.
Well, one thing is for sure is that the growth, the blessing that comes as a result of wrestling with God over this stuff, there's going to be pain, and it's going to, I mean, there's pain in wrestling.
Fun.
There's pain in that struggle of releasing. There's pain when you're tearing off something. There's pain when there's a pruning that takes place. But after that pain is the blessing.
Amen.
And that is what's going to be, I mean, I'm telling you, man, the greater the pain, the greater the blessing.
Amen.
And and we truly need to just trust in God. He has our best interest. He wants to use you, brother. He wants to use you in life. He wants you to be able to take care of business at home first. And then he's going to start putting you in situations after we've learned certain things to be able to take care of the things that he wants us to take care of.
Well, help others. So when he puts us through, when we wrestle with him, when he puts us through things that we get through, then we can help others get through the same thing. So help those what he's helped us with.
So, you know, it's now you're a wrestling coach. You know that somewhere along the line, the guys, it's always about continuing on. Just don't give up. Don't give up.
I tell the kids all the time, it's not necessarily the amount of stuff you know, the technique, whatever it is. It's most of the time it who has the most heart not to give up. That's what it comes down to, who has the most heart. You may be tired. You may be weak. You may be exhausted, whatever it is. But do not give up no matter what till the end.
So really what it comes down to is that when you know that you're beaten, just accept it.
Amen.
Just accept it.
Don't keep fighting against God or wrestling against him.
Yeah, just accept
humble.
It. You know, there's something about the fact is, and you know this as a wrestler or just being a guy that's physical sometimes, is that you know when you've come up against the challenger that is stronger than
you. A force that, Well, it's David, David and Goliath.
Yes, in a sense. And yet, but see, it wasn't David.
Amen.
It was
God
working through
David. And we need
to
give him knowledge or credit and
and
praise for that as well when he does get us through those.
Because the thing is that we have to, we get to that place of actually just acknowledging God and saying, okay, this is something that is, I need to just submit
beyond
to you
me.
Completely. Yep. I can't do it, Father. I need you. I need your help. And really, that's what he wants.
Mm-hmm.
He wants us to desire him, to delight in him, to say, Lord, take this from me, and let me just do what your will is in my life.
Amen. Well, that's what he did with Jacob.
And he's not going to make you irresponsible. It doesn't mean all of a sudden you're going to end up not, your life is going to change, no doubt, because now you're going to end up with hope in your life, and you're going to end up with that joy and that purpose, and that you're going to start to treat your family differently.
Have the
your
Holy
wife,
Spirit in you.
You're going to love her like Christ loves the church, and all of a sudden she's going to respect you, and you're going to go, wow, I've been waiting for this. So it's us, brother, that has to change. It's us.
Amen.
It's us. So
amen.
How about you pray for our brothers who are listening?
All right. Father, I thank you for allowing us to be on this radio show. I thank you for allowing us to to have, or I thank you for putting us through the things that we have gone through so that we can help encourage others, Lord. And I ask that you would bless those out there who are in the middle of a trial, Father God, that you would bless them, give them courage to wrestle with you, to plead with you, Lord, to seek you with everything that they have, that they may have the blessing, Father, of your spirit, of your will, Lord, that you may bless their life, their families, Lord. So this day I ask, Father, for your protection, your blessing over them, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.